I'm sure you've had the experiences, as I have had, to be able to sit down with somebody old. Now, I the older I get, the realize I realize that my definition of old changes. I mean, when I was younger, I thought somebody in their 60s were really ancient. Now that I'm in my 60s, you got to be in your 90s or close to 100 before I consider you old. We've all had the occasion to sit down with our grandfathers or a great aunt or somebody like that that's in our family that's old, and we've got to hear about the good old days, okay? The days when they were younger, the days when things were simpler, the days that they said, oh, if we could just have the good old days back, everything would be just wonderful. Well, I don't know if you noticed it or not, but that's what Jeremiah, the one who wrote the book of Lamentations, said in verse 21. He said, Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. Renew our days as of old. When Jeremiah started preaching, the Bible says he started preaching in the 13th year of Josiah, a godly king. A king that led the nation of Israel in a revival. I mean, they got rid of the idols. They threw out the Sodomites. They repaired the church house. They started reading the Word of God. They observed the different feasts that God told them to observe as they worshiped Him. And it was a wonderful time in the nation of Israel. They were God's people. God was their God. And they drew closer and closer together. But now, years have passed, and the nation of Israel is in exile. The temple has been destroyed. God's people have been scattered. Jeremiah has become known as the weeping prophet. He wept before they went into exile, but after they went into exile, he wept even more. And so he said, as we read, the crown has fallen from our heads. Woe unto us that we have sinned, but renew our days as of old. Bring back the old days. Now, there are some things about the old days that I'm glad they're in the old days. I remember I had a great aunt, and she would tell me about the outhouse and the Sears catalog. And I've tried to imagine that. And I quit because I don't want to imagine it. I'm glad that we have indoor plumbing with soft toilet paper. Now, if you can't say amen to that, you're not going to say amen to anything I say this morning. And I know you ladies are probably worried now because I'm being so uncouth, but I have to be uncouth sometimes. I'm glad outhouses are in the past. I'm glad this morning that I didn't have to follow the path out to the outhouse and be cold out there. I'm glad outhouses, boy, this is deep preaching, isn't it, Brother Clyde? I'm glad outhouses are in the past. I'm glad wash tubs are in the past. I heard my grandfather talk about how they used to take a bath on Saturday night, just on Saturday night. They'd fill up the wash tub, and then grandpa would get in, and then the next grandma would get in, and then dad would get in, and then mom would get in, and then, you know, the oldest child. And I mean, if you were the youngest kid, can you imagine what kind of water you were taking bath in those days? I mean, it was cold and it was dirty. Now, I'm the oldest kid, so I would have some advantage if that was still around, but I'm glad wash tubs are in the past. That, you know, you can get in a nice hot shower and wash all the dirt off of you. I'm glad that horse and buggies are in the past. I'm glad I was able to get into my car this morning, turn a key. I didn't have to get out, make sure the horse was fed. Somebody had a couple people ask me this morning if I fed the horse. I fed Patty, but I didn't feed the horse. I wasn't calling you a horse. Listen, I wasn't calling you a horse. Sometimes she's distracted and she doesn't listen closely. And she's going to think I didn't call you a horse. But I'm glad I didn't have to feed the horse, hook a horse up to the buggy, and get out, get the blankets out, and drive the horse to church. Huh? I know. So there's some things in the past that ought to stay in the past. But there's some things that are in the past that I wish we had more of in the current time. For example, I wish we had more old-fashioned decency. There are things happening today that if they happened 50 years ago, the world that existed back 50 years ago would not put up with it. They would stop it in their tracks. You see, the world has moved away from that common old-fashioned decency, and unfortunately, most churches have moved with it. You know, when the world moves, the church ought to stay firmly planted where it is. But too many churches say, well, we just want to maintain a certain distance from the world. And so when the world moves, they move too. That's not the way it ought to be. I wish we had more old-fashioned decency, that babies would be born, not murdered, that we had more television programs like Ozzie and Harriet and Leave It to Beaver, programs that promoted the family rather than programs that tear down the family and say that the family that God intended for us to have is no longer needs to exist. We can have all sorts of families. I wish we had more old-fashioned decency when it comes to the families. I wish we had more men that looked like men and more women that looked like women. I wish we had people that wore clothes and covered up parts of their body that should not be seen outside the bonds of marriage. I wish we had that today. I wish people waited till they were married to have children. And I wish they wouldn't live together before they got married. I wish we had the days when the only thing open, and I know some of you that go out to eat on Sundays not going to like this when I say this. I'll just confess I'm going out to eat today too. But I can remember a time when I was really young that the only thing open on Sunday was church. You couldn't buy gas. You couldn't buy milk. I mean, you couldn't go out to eat. The only thing that was open on church. I wish we could go back to those days. I wish we could go back to the days where people sat on the porch and actually talked to their neighbor instead of sitting next to each other and texting each other on their iPhones. I wish we could have those days back. I wish we could have something else from the old days. I wish we could have more of old-fashioned character, where you didn't need to have 18 lawyers for every deal that you did, where you could shake hands with somebody and agree to do something, and their word was good enough. Their character was good enough. I wish we could go back to the days when people took a job and actually worked and worked and worked. I wish we could go back to the day when parents disciplined their kids and made a mind and spanked them when they didn't mind. Drew some boundaries around their kids and says, hey, when you cross these lines, there's going to be consequences. You know, back in those days, you could go to school without worrying about getting shot. And I'm not talking just about high school. I'm talking about grade school. You could go to school without worry about getting shot. And you could go to church or your synagogue without worried about getting shot. I wish we could bring the days back of old-fashioned character. I wish we could bring the days back of old-fashioned praise. Amen. I grew up a Baptist, a Southern Baptist. But I went to a church where we had an amen corner that was spread around the church. That's why I get along with Pentecostals so good, Brother Wayne. Man, when I was young and I went to church and somebody sang a song like Brother Wendell sang a moment ago, there wouldn't be a dry eye in the house, and there'd be men and women that would raise their hand, say, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're too quiet in our praise today. God hasn't changed. He's still worthy of our praise. In fact, he's more worthy of our praise today than he was back then. Because this is the day that we're living in. It's a sinful day. And God's still God. He hasn't changed. He's still a holy, righteous God. And when we come together and we hear about that God, we hear about the attributes about that God, it ought to well something up in our hearts. It ought to well something up in our emotions. It ought to well something up in our spirits that we can't contain, that in some way we got to express it, whereby it's just lifting our hand. It's saying amen. It's saying praise the Lord. We're too afraid of what people are going to think. I want people to think, hey, there's somebody that loves God. There's somebody that likes to worship God. There's somebody that can get emotional at times in their worship for God. Look, God loves us and I love Him. I'm looking forward to that day. I can look Him in the face and see the one who saved me by His grace. Amen. I'm looking forward to that day. I wish we could go back to have old-fashioned praise. I wish we could go back to having old-fashioned preachers that preach an old-fashioned gospel. You know what the problem is today? We got too many clergymen. We got too many reverends. We got too many people with letters after their name. We got too many women that are trying to pastor churches. If you're going to get mad at me, go ahead, ladies, get mad at me. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. We need to have some old-fashioned preachers that preach the old-fashioned gospel. We need some old-fashioned preachers that will call sin, sin. We're not going to dress it up. We're not going to call it by a different name. We're not going to call it a sickness or a choice. In fact, that's what sin is. It's a choice. People make a choice to sin. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. Satan has the power to tempt, but he does not have the power to make people sin. Sin is always a choice. And we need preachers that will pound the pulpit, jump up and down, and say, sin is still sin. Doesn't matter that the world's tried to change the definition of it. Doesn't matter that the world's more accepting of what mom and dad and grandpa and grandma would not tolerate at all in the world that they grew up in. It doesn't matter that any of that's changed. Sin is still sin. It's still wickedness in the eyes of God. And sin is going to bring the condemnation of God. The wages of sin is death. There's too many preachers today that are preaching a gospel of love. Oh, God loves everybody so much that He'll never, ever punish sin and send anybody to hell. I mean, that's the gospel that they're preaching. And God, listen, God is a God of love. There's nobody that loves you like God loves you. We just scrape at the surface when we talk about God's love. There's no way that we can explain it or illustrate it in its entirety. There's no way that we can do justice to helping you understand how much God loves you. God is a God of love, but God is also a just God. God has also set some standards in this book, and God has told us that in this book, the wages of sin is death. You can decide to sin. You can decide to turn your back on this book. You can decide to live your life the way you want to live it. But one day, you will stand before an almighty God who will judge you for that sin. And if you never receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, He will say to you, "Depart from me." And I think He'll say it just like this, with a tear in His eye and emotion in His voice. He'll say, "Depart from me, for I never knew you. I never knew you. I sent my son to die for your sin. I sent my son to pay the price of your sin." That's what Jesus did. That's what God did for us. We were sinners. We owed a price to God. We were under the condemnation of our sin. There was nothing we could do to pay for it. And He sent Jesus. He sent Jesus. One who knew no sin, one who was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin, He sent Jesus to die for me and to die for you. That's what He did on the cross. That's what He did on Calvary. As He hung on that cross, nailed there by men, kept there by His desire to do God's will. As He hung on that cross, God took every one of my sins, every one of Brother Wendell's sins, everyone's sins, took everyone, every sin of every person. Listen, every sin of every person, and put them on his son. When he did that, God had to turn his back on his son. That's when Jesus cried out from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was forsaken by God because he bore the sin of mankind. God had to turn his back. Jesus had to pay the price for our sin. The wages of sin is death. That is not physical death. It's spiritual death. It's being separated from a holy, righteous God. And when Jesus bore the sins of every individual, God had to separate himself from his son. He had to turn his back on his son. And Jesus paid the price for our sin. Amen. He paid the price for your sin. He paid the price for my sin. I don't know about you. I can get excited about that. Amen. Amen. I can get excited about Jesus paying for my sin. And the Bible says that because he did, God's able to offer to every person a gift. The gift of eternal life. Amen. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's only because of what Jesus did on Calvary that God is able to offer to every person the gift of life. I wish we could go back and have more preachers preach that gospel. More preachers that will lift up that Christ, that Savior. Yeah, yeah, we got one. You're going to have one as long as the Lord lets me stand in this place. If I quit preaching the gospel, I want you to tar and feather me and run me out of town. Patty's sister, Madeline, called us Wednesday night. Tell us about Case. I was so happy to hear that. Because you see, here's how old is Case, Mike? Five years old. Just had his birthday. Just turned five. Here's a little five-year-old. That's God. God's going to get for his whole life. I wasn't saved till I was 16. He's going to have Case for 11 more years than he had me. That's what it's all about. That's why we have Awana. That's why we have Junior Church. That's why we have Sunday School. So these little boys and girls can come to know Jesus as their Savior when they're young. Amen. And God can have them their whole life. And they can know what it is to love God their whole life. That's what it's all about. That's why we're here this morning. We're here this morning to strengthen Christians. We're here this morning to encourage Christians. But our primary purpose is to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. That's what Jesus did. That's what he left us to do. One more thing. I wish we could go back and have more of old-fashioned sinners coming to an old-fashioned altar and getting saved. I wish every time we came into this place, somebody would walk the aisle and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. I wish we could see that. I wonder if you're here this morning and you're one of those sinners. You see, we're all sinners. Just most of us are saved. There may be some here this morning that are not. You may be one of them. This is an old-fashioned altar. It's not that old from a time standpoint. But it's an old-fashioned altar because it's been dedicated for people to come and use to come to God. If you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Savior, would you do that? Would you be a sinner that says, I realize that I'm a sinner. I realize I have no hope apart from Jesus Christ. And this morning I want to come and receive Christ as my Savior. The Bible says, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Would you do that this morning? We'll help you. We'll take the Bible. I'll have somebody take the Bible, show you from the Bible what it says about how to ask Jesus to be your Savior. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the old days. We wouldn't be what we are today if it wasn't for the old days. We wouldn't be what we are today if it wasn't for those that have gone before us. that paved the path, that fought the wars, defended the freedom, gave their lives so that we could be here this morning, worship in this place, and hear a sermon about how to receive Christ as our Savior. So thank you for the old-fashioned days. Father, I pray for those that are here that don't know Jesus. If there's just one, I pray that you'd help them understand that that sin separates them from you, and the only hope that they have is to come to your Son, to come to Christ. Help them do that this morning. They can do it right where they sit by praying that prayer that you taught sinners to pray, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me. Or they can come in just a second, and we can take the Bible and show them what the Bible says about asking Jesus to be their Savior. Speak to Christians that are here this morning. Help us to draw closer to our Lord. Draw nigh to Him, and He will draw nigh to you. As we talked about in Sunday school this morning, we draw nigh to you as we worship you, as we lift you up, and we do that this morning, God. What a wonderful God you are. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. And so speak to us. If there's something you want us to do, if there's a part of your will that you want to reveal to us this morning, reveal it and help us to be obedient. Just bless this time of invitation, Father. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.